Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Podcast with Noah and Jeff.
In this show, we're going to dive deep into flips, wholesales, holding rentals, and creatively structuring deals.
So that we can show you how you can achieve that lifestyle of freedom that you desire.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Freedom Podcast. I'm super excited. Today, I'm actually in Puerto Rico with my good friend, Will Taylor. We're going to be talking about business systems. He actually runs multiple successful businesses, a coaching business. You have your own coaching business.
Yep.
Your wife has a coaching business.
Yep.
Right? So there's two streams of income there.
Yep.
Then you have a media company.
Yep.
That helps businesses with their marketing and all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
And then you also have a coaching company for fitness coaches.
Yes.
So there's like, you have so many streams of income, it's not even funny.
There's the main ones.
Yeah. So break down a little bit more granular those different businesses that you have.
Cool. So I'll give you a little bit of background because I think that'll how we got here, mm-hmm. right? So I used to own gyms. I kind of got into the entrepreneurial game owning gyms. So 5 years ago, I bought another gym, and we grew those. But last year we sold those. Mm-hmm. And so that has kind of been the base of what has grown everything from here on out. And we sold the gyms last year. My wife actually launched a coaching business first. So helping women.
Oh, she was first.
Yeah, she was the first one in what's still going on.
Yeah.
So she launched Built by Raleigh, and that was online, working with people all over the country, now world, in health, fitness, nutrition, mindset. So we have that. And then I did that as well. So now I work with men. Mm-hmm. You and I, that's how we got to know each other. And that has kind of been the last couple of years, mm-hmm. is growing those, building those. And then that moved into coaching people to do that exact same thing. So how do you sell your gym? How do you grow an online coaching business when you have a passion for health and fitness?
Yeah.
So those are three. And then I love business. Like, got my MBA and I love marketing and business. Mm-hmm. And my favorite part, I like coaching, but I like the scaling of the business part.
Yeah.
And so that led to a partnership with my partner, Mike Green, mm-hmm. in Taylor Green Media. And so now we have a full-fledged media company that helps businesses launch their story, launch media around it, YouTube, mm-hmm. podcast, and then get to the paid side of it with ads on Facebook, YouTube, Google, and how do you scale it from there.
Nice. And so, guys, if you're listening, Will has been one of those people that has really changed my life personally in just the last couple months that we've really gotten to know each other. So in December, I hired him as my fitness coach. For like 3 years in a row, I've said that I would get a six pack. And for 3 years in a row, I definitely didn't get a six pack. So
like most people.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's hard because it's like I'm not an expert in that space and I'm making these guesses based off what I read online or whatever. Right. But so like it's been a game changing thought process for me this year is like, what I don't know how to do, I need to either hire someone that knows how to do it, or I need to outsource it to someone who knows how to do it, right?
Yeah.
So I hired your company to help me with my fitness, and it's been game changing.
Like, and you look good.
Thank you, brother. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do it without you, but like, I have so much more confidence like walking around now or like taking my shirt off at the pool because like I'm comfortable with how I look and I like it. Yeah. And we're only at the beginning. Like, we're gonna keep going, and it's gonna be really fun. Then in addition, I hired your company for social media.
Yep.
And we just had one of your employees come out and spend a week with us and film all sorts of super cool content. And I'm super awkward and goofy, like just really freaking awkward on camera. So Caroline, she's got her work cut out.
She's good, huh?
Yeah, she's good, but she's got her work cut out with me. Jeff's a natural. Jeff was supposed to be here on the show today, guys, but he's actually been sick since the day we landed in Puerto Rico. So he is at
worst
the hotel
vacation.
Sleeping. Yeah, I feel super bad for him. But yeah, I mean, your companies honestly have changed my life in like the last like 6 months that we've been able to grind some stuff out. So I just really appreciate you, man. I'm super excited.
Put in
to
the work,
be
right?
Here. Yeah, absolutely. It's been a fun journey. So with all your companies, I'm just super curious, man. Like, I struggle to run one company. How do you manage all those moving parts?
Good people. And I think I was actually thinking about this the other day because I feel like sometimes is in the entrepreneurial space, we wear this badge of honor of like, oh, I have this many companies and I've founded this much.
Yeah.
And I actually think that is the biggest trap ever is I've been in a place before this where like, I'm going to do this. And you chase all the shiny mm-hmm. objects. So I think first and foremost is everything that I'm in has kind of been a natural progression from the thing before it.
Yeah.
Right?
You're playing off the skill sets you built before.
Yes. Yeah. And so, like, you build off that, and an opportunity comes up, and because of what you've done before, it's like, okay, that's a very easy migration into mm-hmm. that. And so, like, the gyms built the knowledge and the know-how on the systems to build a online coaching business. And frankly, the model is just better.
Yeah. Right?
Overhead is less. You help more people. You can get deeper. Then that led into people reaching out and saying, hey, how do I do what you do? Mm-hmm. How do we build that business? And I got into that world, met people in it, and so have a really, really good team in Professional Coaching Academy, which is where we coach gym owners and fitness professionals to grow their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So the team there is phenomenal. Like, they all do it. They all run their own coaching businesses, and they help me run that. Then in the media company, I have a really good partner who's been in the marketing game for 25 years.
Right.
So I feel like, on one hand, like, it's people, mm-hmm. right? You get the right people. My wife is an amazing teammate on our coaching business. We have coaches and the systems there completely lined out. The PCA, amazing team members, mm-hmm. and then a really good partner in Taylor Green Media.
So you're surrounding yourself with other people that are experts in these areas, and that's allowed you to kind of build yourself up and out.
Yeah, totally. And I think the experience I got running the gyms at the beginning, mm-hmm. which frankly didn't make a lot of money, right? Like,
the physical, like, brick and mortar
gyms.
Physical,
yeah, physical brick and mortar. It just allowed me to get my feet wet to understand business.
Yep.
And then look at other opportunities.
Yeah.
So with that, you grow into it, and then you can build the systems out from it.
So building teams and hiring, let's talk about hiring the right people, because that's pretty difficult to do. And a lot of our listeners, they might be new to real estate, but we're also making this show for people that are trying to build up their real estate business. So people that are going from doing one or two deals, which is their own personal capacity, to now adding team members and increasing that capacity. You've done an excellent job of building your businesses up. So what could you share with the listeners on how to build or how to hire those people? Like, what are some key things that you'd look out for?
I think, one, you have to identify what you like doing and what you're really good at, and be okay that you can't do everything well.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm really bad actually at ops and systems and some of the back end stuff, because I just don't like doing
it. I'm horrible.
Right? And most entrepreneurs aren't, because we see the vision, we see the dream, and that's where we want to go spend our time. And as soon as it's like, oh no, you have to go lock yourself in a room and, like, search for deals or put all the paperwork together, we suck at that.
Paperwork is,
yeah, we're the worst.
Not even close to good at it.
Right? So I think step one is identifying the things you're good at and where you want to spend your time, which will then identify the things where you don't want to spend time and where you need help. And then you prioritize those of how quickly can you get help in those mm-hmm. areas, whether it's an assistant, an employee, you outsource it to somebody else. And then also, this is a whole nother rabbit hole, but, like, virtual assistants across the globe have changed my life.
How many VAs do you have?
35.
You have 35 VAs?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, man.
So across all the companies right now, we have 35 employees that would be classified as virtual assistants or virtual workers in some way. And that's not our American workforce, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is India and the Philippines is where we have a lot of people working. And so I think we have about 5 people in India right now that are development team, building some apps and some more coded web development. And then we have 30 in the Philippines that do ad management, admin tasks, video editing, social media editing, like, all of that tactical work we're able to do in the Philippines.
What does that cost you per hour, like, on average with those?
So we usually start them between $3 and $5 an hour and then work our way up from there. Mm-hmm. And, like, for them, most of them, what I've found is they're coming from making sometimes less than $1 an hour US and sometimes 2 or less. So we can come in and double their pay right away.
So they're loyal. They're excited
super
to go to
loyal.
Work.
Their quality of life increases dramatically, and then we treat them well. There's bad ones, just like there's bad employees mm-hmm. everywhere. But when we found good ones, it's been game changing.
So what do you use the specific site to hire them through?
Yeah, so we kind of started in onlinejobs.ph is a really good one for the Philippines. There's some other sites, but that's kind of been our go-to. And then what we found is when you find a group of really good people, they know all the other good ones.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, we probably hired, honestly, like, 4 to 6 from the site.
Okay.
Train them up ourselves, and now everybody is kind of referrals. Like, we just put it out and we say, hey, we have one main person over there named Sheena. She's awesome. And whenever we need somebody, I just say, hey, Sheena, we need a new video editor, or I need the best SEO guy that we can find.
So they could do really technical work then.
Yeah. And this is the thing. Like, we found, like, we just hired a new ad guy.
Uh-huh.
And I have worked with ad companies, and we are an ad company, but I've worked with them all over the country. The guy I just hired from the Philippines is as good or better than every single one of them, and we're paying him $8 an hour.
And eight, for him, $8 an hour is probably,
and it's like a $3 raise from what he was getting. Yeah, it's almost double what he was getting before. And he worked for another company for years, did all their ads, spent, we were looking for somebody that had managed 7-figure in ad spend. Like, somebody that had spent over $1 million and managed that inside of the company.
And he's done that?
And he was like, I was the guy. So I was the guy on the back end that was doing that, and we found him over there. And he's been phenomenal. So, like, we just got him on an account for one of our Google accounts. They were getting $40 cost per clicks. In 3 weeks, we're now down to $2.40. And he did it. He did it. So that's, like I said, that's a rabbit hole in and of itself. But, like, when you look at the real estate world, finding deals, scraping lists, scraping websites to look for stuff, all the admin things, look at your email. They can do all of it.
That's crazy, because I, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about my own business, right? And like, where I can implement them. And it's like, there's a lot of really expensive roles that I was planning on hiring people. Like, we want to bring on our own real estate agent. I have my license, but it's not worth my time anymore to list our stuff.
Yeah.
And we're missing deals on the MLS. Which is funny, because everybody's like, there's no deals on the MLS. There's deals on the MLS.
Yeah, there's deals everywhere.
You have to know what those deals look like.
Yeah.
And, like, for example, like, we just bought 2 deals off the MLS last week. One buddy has started looking for us, and we're paying him commissions. But instead, if I could pay an in-house person that commission, or but it, even better, what you just broke down is, if I hire a VA, and this is a little gray, but hire a VA, have them use my Intermountain MLS access, have them write the offers for me. I'll teach them how to do it. That's a very systematized, easy thing to build out. Now that commission just goes right back into our company.
Right.
We could write 15, we could write 30 offers a day with a VA, $8 an hour, and spend less than one commission to an outside agent to write that offer for us.
Yeah.
That's insane, dude.
It's insane. Let me give you an example of a company we're going to start, right? So I have, like, I like watches, right? And I've got a buddy who likes watches. And so we're like, okay, we can flip watches. But I don't want to spend any time looking for watch deals, right? But we know that there's $100,000 a month, right, sitting in watch deals.
Really?
And if we have the money, but we could have somebody spend 10 hours a day go find the deals, right? So you go buy this watch for $2,000 and you know you got $2,500 in it.
Yeah.
You can get this watch for $30 and you know you got $2,000 in it. But you got to go find them. Well, now I can pay $6 an hour. All day, 24/7.
Yeah.
And somebody's gonna scrape it.
So you're gonna hire a VA.
So the VA is gonna find all the deals. We put together the list of, here's all the watches we want to buy. Here's what we'll buy it for, and then they're gonna go relist it for the sale price. Here's the spread we need on every watch. And right now we'll just approve the first deals.
Yeah.
But you get that systems down. Now I make money. The VA runs it. And I get to upgrade my watch every month to where I have all the watches I want.
Dude, that's insane. So all you're gonna do is build out a list, right? Mm-hmm. And you're gonna say, hey, here's the 65 watches I'll buy, and here's the prices that I would buy them at, because here's the back end value.
Yep.
As long as I have a 30% margin or whatever your metrics are, then just buy it. Mm-hmm. But the first couple you said you're gonna watch them on approve.
Yeah. I'll just watch, make sure we do it, make sure we get the systems down. And we're gonna use, I'm geeking out, but like, we'll use a line of credit, so we won't even be out any cash.
Yeah. Oh
so we'll line of credit to buy the watches, buy them, sell them, take the cash, pay out the VA.
That's crazy. Well, since this is a real estate podcast, let's talk about your real estate transaction that you have done really well on, right?
So, yeah.
Will and I both went to Southern Utah University. It's actually where we very first met. We passed each other in halls and chatted up every once in a while, but never got into business or anything like that. You bought the old theater on Main Street. And then walk us through how you bought that and what that looks like now.
Yeah. So I had a gym. I moved to town and I was like, I'm going to get my MBA. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I want to do my own thing. So I walk into a gym to join the gym, find out it was for sale. 2 months later, I own the gym. So that was like 5 years ago. And in the first 2 years of the gym, we tripled the membership.
Mm-hmm.
So grew the gym a lot, needed new space, but kind of a small town, so there wasn't a ton of...
This was Cedar City as well?
So this is Cedar City, uh-huh. Yeah. So looking for a space to buy, our lease is up, we know the space is too small, so I was either going to build or I was going to buy. And right across the street from us was the old movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
It had been vacant, it was bad, like it needed a lot of work. So our realtor walked us in and was like, hey, this is what we can pick this up for. It's 12,000 square feet, so you got plenty of space, but it needed some work. So we went all in. So I figured out how to buy it, put some things together. We put a down payment down. We bought the old movie theater on Main Street,
mm-hmm.
and then remodeled about 5,000 square feet into the gym.
Okay.
And so moved over and still own the business. Interesting story. Do you want to go down the whole rabbit hole?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go down
okay.
the whole rabbit hole.
All right.
And then let's break down, after that, let's break down the numbers of what you bought it for,
okay.
what you put into it, some of the issues you ran into with rehab. Because that'll
okay.
be really helpful, and maybe like some retrospective stuff, like what would you have done differently going forward to avoid the, some of those issues?
Okay, cool. Because I think, yeah, I think it'll be a good story.
Yeah.
And I think we just did it in like an hour, so I'll try to make it 5 minutes. Okay, so we buy this building, this old movie theater.
Uh-huh.
And in it, we need a gym, right? But it's a 6-foot slant on the 5,000 square foot main back part. So we want to put the gym in there. So we've got to build a floor that you can do CrossFit on in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I hire a contractor, hire an engineer, pay all the money, and we get it designed to do CrossFit on the floor.
It's just
so
extra, what is it, extra bracing?
Extra or? Bracing, extra studs, 3 times as thick of floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like studs should be, it was 1 foot on center, should have been 24 or 16. We went one, more studs, everything was beefed up.
Yeah.
Right? So mathematically, it should have worked. Should have worked. So we finish it, we finally move in, and we start deadlifting and dropping weights on it, and the floor breaks almost immediately. Like
you said, what you didn't you say is like 6 days in?
6 days in. So we move in. I'm actually out of town, and I get a text from a coach that's like, hey man, the floor is a trampoline. Sends me a picture, and the floor that's supposed to be super sturdy is flat, dips, and flat again. And he's standing on it, and it's literally like a trampoline, like just bouncing. So then we go into that whole process, and the floor just keeps breaking, like keeps breaking, keeps breaking, keeps breaking. And I eventually ended up having to shut the gym down. So I had 2 gyms at that point. I sold one of them when kind of COVID hit,
mm-hmm.
and I just shut that one down because when the floor broke, like it kind of killed the business a little bit,
yeah.
killed morale,
mm-hmm.
Had some things happen. And so we just shut it down, which is why the whole online business side went. So total side note, but like business never goes like you think it's going to go.
Yeah.
Whether you're flipping houses
right.
or real estate or whatever, there's always something. And you only quit if you lose playing. Or sorry, you only lose if you quit playing.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Right? So like we pivoted the gyms into the online side. That took off. So then we take this building, I shut the gym down. Now I'm in a lawsuit with, like, you killed our business, you also did that. So we'll probably win that. We'll get some money back,
yeah, definitely.
Which is good. But I bought that building, so all 12,000 square feet, for $330,000. It had been vacant for a while. A guy actually picked it up on the courthouse steps before me. So I think he even doubled his money on it.
I'm like, sure, yeah.
So he doubled his money, but I still bought it pretty well. We put about $250,000 in remodel into it. So
mm-hmm.
not just the floors, but like reconfigured the bathroom, showers, the front of
you
it.
Went all out on this.
Yeah, went all in.
Yeah.
Right? So now I actually, when the gym sold, I was like, oh, I'm going to put it up for sale. So I put it up for sale. So let's say we're in it about five,
mm-hmm.
right? About 500 after everything. I put it up for sale at $899, got it under contract. Unfortunately, because of the price of labor or lumber, they couldn't do the remodel they wanted. But like if you just take that with all the crap we went through, you're in five and now you're under contract at $899.
You're talking a $400,000 spread?
Yeah, and that was in that's in 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? 2 years. So very, very confident that we'll win the lawsuit, we'll fix the floor, and then I think once that's fixed, we're actually at about $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're at a $500,000 spread on it. And we'll probably actually keep it because in that time, Taylor Green Media launched. We have more employees. So now we've actually remodeled the middle floor into all of our offices.
Mm-hmm.
Want to put a restaurant in the back, apartments upstairs.
What's the zoning? Do you know what the zoning is on that building?
Yeah, so we can do anything. I don't remember exactly what it is, but we could do apartments on the third floor, dude. Commercial downstairs. Like we could do, if we remodeled it all, let's say you put another $500,000 into it, it's mm-hmm. probably a $2 million building.
It must have some type of flexible zoning where they're like, you know, you could do whatever. We own a building like that in Meridian, Idaho.
Okay.
It's like they call Old Town zoning there.
Okay.
And so same thing. We can build commercial, we can build residential, we could go three stories high, we could do two stories. We're doing from ground up. But you have a lot, cool. There's a lot of power in what you have because everybody else buys one deal with one purpose and they have to go hunt for another deal.
Uh-huh.
You've bought in this one deal with so much potential up front, like with there being 12,000 yeah. square feet. And is 12,000 the total building or 12,000 is the floor?
No, total building.
Okay,
total
so 12,000. But you yep. only used 5 for the gym.
Yep.
How much is Taylor Green Media using right now?
3.
3,000 square feet, and that's a massive office.
Yeah, I mean, we probably need 1,500.
So yeah,
we
I mean,
just you, took 3
yeah,
because we can.
Just because you can.
Yeah.
So if you really wanted to tighten down, I wish we had a pen and paper to actually do this. Do you have your phone on you? I'm just curious to see what the total rents would be. So let's say you shrunk Taylor Green down to a 2,000 square foot mm-hmm. office. You've got 10,000 square feet left. How much yep. would a restaurant take up?
4. Say 4.
4. So what is Taylor Green? What do you build Taylor Green for the for
dollar
the,
square foot?
A dollar square foot. So they're if they took it down to a 1,500 square foot office, they pay $1,500 a month.
Yep.
Well, what would be a fair rent per square foot to a restaurant?
So the going rate right now for Main Street property is anywhere between 90 cents and $1.20.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in there.
Say $1 for easy
yeah,
math.
Yeah, but what's this easy math? $1.
So $4,000 to the restaurant.
Yep.
You've only used 5,500 square feet. You're making just. For most people listening to the show, they've already heard of the 1% rule, which okay. basically just means that whatever you buy something at, your gross monthly rent should be 1% of that. So a $400,000 building should collect $4,000 in rent, which based off of Taylor Green and a restaurant only using 5,500 square feet, which is slightly less than half the building,
yep.
you've already hit the 1% rule.
Yeah.
So holy smokes. So is that what that would 5,500 square feet be the whole ground floor?
No.
No.
No. So the whole ground floor is probably
8,000?
Yeah, probably 8,500.
So what else could you fit down there? What else would you rent?
So we could do, there's a whole back space. So you could do, let's say a restaurant takes the 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got two more Main Street access units that can both go. So I actually think like if we just take 12,000, you can get 12,000 a month out of
yeah.
the building.
Yeah. And then it's cool too because you can mix up the strategies of you could do two Airbnbs up top
mm-hmm.
with two more residential units and have four apartments. And then you're talking, you know, some consistent stable income with some flexing income, with some commercial income, with restaurant income. So no matter what happens in any one industry, if restaurants tank, you're yeah. fine. You've got other tenants paying your rent. If you decide to sell Taylor Green Media and they move out, you're fine. You've got other tenants paying your rent. So it's just kind of cool because you can grow into this building and grow the building. Whereas anyone else that were to buy like just a normal fourplex, you buy the fourplex, that's it.
Yeah.
You can do some value add, but the value add's only going to take you so far and the market still really sets your rent. You've got a very unique building here. We're like,
it's cool, huh?
You could do so much with it. It's wild, dude. That's really cool. So if how did you get the loan on the building to start with?
So I had a little bit of money,
uh-huh.
But I actually didn't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wheeling and dealing, man. And so I ended up making a deal with another company of like, hey, I'll come do some work for you and you help me, give me a bonus to help me get in the building.
So you did some wheeling and dealing, you got the down payment from another company in order to go work with them. But then, so the mortgage on it, how did you structure that? Was that a commercial loan?
Yeah, commercial loan.
Yeah, commercial loan. Yep. And what did they require down?
So because cool story, we only had to put 5%, 10%.
10% down?
10%
down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we did an SBA 504 loan
mm-hmm.
because I was moving my business from its location and we had to prove basically like, I can't grow my business anymore because we have...
You're capped.
Yeah, we're capped.
Yeah.
And so I need more space, and so we got an SBA loan to do that.
Okay. And then what was the underwriting process? Like, how How like deep did they go into your personal finances? Is it based just off the business?
It was definitely based on the business. We did a full deep dive into the business, and then we did have to back it personally.
You
because
did.
It was an SBA loan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they looked at my personal stuff, and then the business as well.
And then what's the total mortgage payment per month on that?
So it's split up into two, because with the SBA loan, you have one that goes to the local bank, and they have 20% of the liability, mm-hmm. and then the other one goes to the SBA, which is 80% of the liability, and I'm trying to remember right, one of them's like $2,200, the other one's like $29,000. So it's like, yeah, it's almost like $5,000.
That's so crazy, though. I mean, because you're going to be able to do 12 in the building, if you fully utilize the building.
Yeah.
And finish that entire rehab.
Yeah, like we fully use it, you're going to double your money every month. Right.
Dude, I wish what we'll do is when we post a snippet of this to Instagram or something like that,
yeah,
we'll do the math on what the cap rate is on your building. So cap rates, for those of you that are listening, we talk about it quite a bit in the show. In Boise, the multifamily sell based off cap rate now, which wasn't the case like 5-6 years ago. They sold based off of just comparable properties. In Indiana, where we buy and hold properties, we're buying at a 10 cap. In Boise, people buy at a 5 cap.
Wow.
So they're buying at half the value or half the return that we're willing to buy at.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying good or bad, it's totally indifferent. It just depends on your investing strategy, because in Boise, they might realize, it's a super hot market. So like they might realize, 15, 20% in appreciation in 1 year. Whereas in Indiana, I'll never realize.
Yeah.
I'll never gain 15% in appreciation.
Okay, that makes sense.
But my rent to my purchase price ratio is way better. So, and I don't know, I'd rather play off that. I'm after cash flow long term.
Yeah.
But so I would be curious to do the math off the show, and we'll post it on Instagram or whatever, of what your cap rate is on that building.
I think it's pretty good.
My guess is that you're at least 12%, probably closer to 15% cap rate, which is insane. Because I guarantee you, if we looked at commercial space in Cedar City right now, we wouldn't find anything for 12 to 15% cap rate.
No.
Not even close.
No, not even close.
Yeah. I look occasionally at like duplexes and stuff there, and they're like, they're extremely expensive.
Yeah, it's high right now.
Compared to where it was. Like, I remember looking in college and I could have bought a foreclosed condo behind the movie theater.
Yeah.
Or to the side of the movie. No, behind the movie theater for $10,000. But it was every dollar I had to my name in college. And so I was like, I'm gonna buy this. It's gonna also take work to fix it up.
Yep.
And then it only had 2 bedrooms. So I was like, okay, if I live in one, I could still only rent out one more bedroom. But had I done it, that condo now is worth probably $290,000, $310,000, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Just the condo. That could have 30x
true,
my money.
Man.
But
when I think it's, I'm gonna tangent off that.
Yeah.
Because I was telling somebody this the other day. Both primary residence homes that I've sold
mm-hmm.
have catapulted my business life. So right out of college, I bought a house in St. George.
Mm-hmm.
And when we sold that, I think we made about $160,000. Awesome, right? Lived in it for 3 years. And then that's why I bought the gym,
mm-hmm.
right? So I go in and like, how do you buy a gym at 24? Well, it's because I had sold the house. And we just doubled our house in Utah as well. So I just sold one in Cedar City that we bought 4 years ago, and it doubled. So I mean, real estate's actually been the cash that has helped get everything
it's,
else going.
It's been your own little private fund for your business.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because like there's no way I would have got in the gym without the first house sale.
So, and then you just moved to Puerto Rico. That's why we're here today doing this. Was there some strategic thought process with all your businesses and why you moved here? Or was it more personal, like, hey, I just lifestyle. I want my kids to grow up on the beach and live this life.
It was both, but definitely there's a tax incentive.
Yeah.
So there's some acts in Puerto Rico that, really simply put, if you generate your income off the island and service the mainland and you're willing to live inside of some restrictions, like you've got to buy property in Puerto Rico, you've got to live here for a certain amount of time,
mm-hmm.
you have to be physically on the island for 6 months and a day out of the year, then you get some pretty awesome tax incentives on all your business. Personally.
What break that down? What is
so
that?
Of everything that you make, essentially you pay 4% tax. So like if you're used to California, New York, then you know you're paying 35-40%. And with some of the stuff that's happening right now with our political climate, like all our money ends up going to taxes. And so
because it really we're looking at it going way up, even from where it's at.
It's gonna keep going.
A 35 to 45%. what's the point at that point? You know, if you're a high income earner and you're earning $100,000 a year and you go to $200,000, you're going to keep 50 of it.
Yeah.
So what, why, like, we're going to lose the incentive of wanting to work hard.
Yeah, and that's a rabbit hole for, I hope, if you're listening to this podcast, you know what that means.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it decentivizes hard work. Mm-hmm. It decentivizes everything that we believe in, but we won't even get into
it. Yeah, yeah, this would be a two-hour podcast if we go down that hole.
But, you know, there's incentivizing to look around. I think that's the beauty of, one, being an entrepreneur and being in business for yourself. Mm-hmm. To finding things that create cash flow and an opportunity, because then you can go find other opportunities, right? The world is changing to where, you know, even 20 years ago, 40 years ago, I want a job, you have to go somewhere to have that job. And like, you have to go to Cedar, you have to go all of these big cities. That's changed. COVID helped change that, but technology is changing that. I can do everything from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can find deals. You're doing it in Indiana.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have you been to Indiana?
Once.
One time.
Yeah.
Right. You could do that from Puerto Rico, Idaho, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you get to look at, well, why do I really live where I live? And that was the question we started with. Is like, why am I in Cedar?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a ton of really good friends here? I have some. Like, I don't have any family here. Do I like the lifestyle? Kind of. But what if I could do anything? What would I want? The beach is pretty awesome. And then we had some friends that had come here and loved it. And so the taxes, the business benefits, but also like right now my backyard is the beach.
I've been watching your stories and like it's like the middle of the day and you're just out walking on the freaking beach and you're on the phone, your kids are running around, whatever it is. But like
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing lifestyle that you've created for yourself, you know? And that wouldn't be possible without you creating these different cash flow centers within your businesses and taking all this risk. This cool, the more because we've gone over this story a couple times, but the more we've gone into it and repeated it, I've realized something really, really cool about you. You have been willing to risk it all multiple times. Like you've literally put it all on the line and said, I have faith in myself that I will get through this, that I'll figure it out, and that I will emerge stronger. And that's intense though, because there are people that are not willing to even put $5,000 in to start their own business. But they'll spend an extra 10 grand to upgrade their car for leather seats.
Yeah, man. Like I, bless my wife, right? But there's been at least two times in our marriage where like I risked it all and it didn't work.
Mm.
Right. And so if you take, like we talked about the positives of that building, but let's talk about the negatives for a second. Right. Went all in. Like I put literally every dollar in. Like I probably had $1,000 in cash in my bank account, which is very uncomfortable.
And you did that for the rehab, right?
And I did into the building, to rehab the building. We actually, like, in every rehab, it goes longer than you think.
Oh, right? Always, dude.
And so now we're doing 12,000 square feet of it. And that was my first ever. So, like, talk about being an idiot. Like, I was like, well, I'll do it. Let's just do a 12,000 square foot commercial building. Dumped everything in. The floor breaks. I actually go get another job to make money to run the cash flow. And we have no money. And my son breaks his arm. I can't afford the cast. So to just like, that is true. I've risked everything to get here. And so I'm super blessed and grateful for where we're at. And I don't think that's the smartest thing. So like, if you're listening, don't go bet at all. Like, go put some money aside and make sure you're not going to lose, because there's no glory in poverty, right? There is no glory in losing everything. But at the same time, like, I did believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I spent credit cards, money on coaching people that were smarter than me, and I bet on myself over and over and over and over again. And I lose a lot, and I just don't quit. And I keep coming back, and, like, things end up working out, right?
Yeah.
So I think I get super passionate of people that are like, I flipped a house and it didn't work, or I started a business and it didn't work. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't always go well, you know?
Yeah. Most of the time, right? Especially if you're just starting,
right?
Like very few of us hit home runs on the first try.
Mm-hmm.
But you just keep going and you get better and you get smarter and you improve as a person, you get better people around you, you start to build systems, you learn. And now it's like, I think we were talking about this the other day. It's like, You know, before making $3,000 a month was easy. And then it's like, okay, now making 10 is easy. Okay, mm-hmm. Now making 20 is easy.
Yeah.
Now what's 100? What about $1,000,000 a month, right? And those numbers just keep growing and your skills grow to where like you just there comes a point where you know how to make it.
Yep.
And so
and you can do it in any like different revenue channel. Like you have multiple streams. Like you're like, okay, hey, I figured out how to make $3,000 in coaching. Okay, now I figured out how to make $3,000 in a different type of coaching other business owners.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm making $3,000 in a marketing company. And then you scale those all up and it's like, yeah, it's and that's what I love about the way you've built out your businesses too, is they all play off the same skill set that you built, which is really, in my opinion, like serving other people.
Yeah.
And dialing down like marketing channels.
Yep.
Like how do I get my message out clearly so everyone knows what I do?
Yep.
And then they end up coming to you for the help. Like I came to you. I feel like you didn't have to market to like
You messaged me on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's some guy that had like some crazy transformation in like 90 days. I was like, okay, if he could do it, I could do it. Here I am, 6 months. I'll start looking like him, but I cheat on
You're pretty dang close though.
Yeah, I'm getting there. So man, that's one of the things that you just talked about that was really interesting to me is there's a saying, it's like you have to learn how to manage $1,000 before you learn how to manage five. You learn how to manage five before you learn how to manage 50. I see a lot of people try to jump, mm-hmm. and that's where I see a lot of people fail. I see this specifically in real estate wholesaling. So you're pretty familiar with it. We were having a conversation earlier.
Yeah, understand it. Never done it, but I understand it.
I see a lot of guys that go in and like they're like, I got to get this $50,000 deal. I'm like, dude, do you know how many freaking $3,500 deals I've done before I got to my 50? Like it doesn't have to be a home run. In fact, getting a couple base hits will take you so much farther because you're going to get the consistency. You're going to get the deal flow. You're going to get like the belief in yourself that it's a repeatable system. But if you're going after the 50s and you hit one a year, cool, you made $50,000. But if you're going after the fives and you hit 10, now you actually have a business that is consistent and what do you call that? Predictable.
Yep.
Right? It's so different. It's like, I mean, same thing in your marketing company. Like, do you want to go for one client that's going to pay you $50,000 a month? What happens if that one client leaves? Your business is nothing. You built teams and people around all that one client. Versus five clients that are paying you $5,000 a month. I'd rather go for that five. Like,
well, and the systems, right? Like, you can build systems about a repeatable process.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the numbers keep going up, but like to get to the system of how to wholesale 50 every month, go build five, especially if you're just starting, because you're going to learn the process to get there, and then it becomes easier.
Yeah.
If you skip it, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And every time I try to skip it, it's like the big deal, right? Did not go super well. It was super stressful. I lost everything. I had to build it all back up. Yes, it'll work out in the long run, but it sucked.
And sometimes for some people it doesn't. Like there isn't a catch. Like they didn't start the extra company that can pay the mortgage and now the building has another purpose and all these things, right? So what's next for you, man? I mean, you've done a lot in your time as an entrepreneur and as a business owner.
Yeah, I want to scale back. I want to scale back to scale up, right? And so like I have really good people around me, really good teams. The businesses that I'm in now, like when you talk about vehicles, I mentioned earlier the gym model is not a very good model in my opinion, right? Super high overhead, you have a cap, and you just can't grow it. You can't scale very well unless you go buy more gyms, which mm-hmm. I don't want to do because it also takes a ton of capital. So the vehicles that I have right now I feel like are very good business models. I have the people in place and we can scale that. And so I'm gonna stop wearing the badge of like I have all these things going on, and how can I just scale these to very, very high levels, kind of be the best at it, and then see what happens. And stuff like the watch thing, right? Like I'll have little offshoots like that scratch my itch, but it's like I already have the system, right? I just have to pull a person, build a system in a week, and then it goes.
Yeah,
it goes. So I feel like once you get to a point, like the rich get richer, mm-hmm. why, you know, like I'm not there yet, but I'm starting to see why, is because you have systems, beliefs, and the network, the things in place to go do little offshoots. You
know? Yeah.
We're talking about how are we going to flip homes in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. and who knows where that'll go, but it's like, we'll just see what comes up, but build the foundation is built and just build that.
Yeah. Well, brother, I appreciate you so much making some time to come down to San Juan and jump in this cool podcast like studio with me.
You came a lot farther than I did.
Yeah, but it's so fun to get together, man. Like it's been cool to be on this journey with you, and you helped me a ton with, you know, my fitness, and we've been talking a lot about business, and it's cool to see what'll happen in the next couple months, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Will, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they want to reach out to you?
Just follow me. So you can go to Will Taylor Jr. on everything.
Okay.
Facebook, Instagram, and then WillTaylorJr.com. I'm launching a podcast that is recorded called Live Empowered, but it will be about kind of my journey, how to not just make money, right, but also truly live and build the life that you want, because I'm becoming an even bigger believer that the world has changed in terms that there is opportunity everywhere.
Yeah.
50 years ago, if you came from a small town, it was harder, right? The technology didn't exist to go global to build a presence, but there's no reason in today's world with what exists that we all can't make what we want, do what we want, live where we want. And so that'll be the basis of that. And so you can see that there. It'll launch in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Okay, so you're going to launch. Is that July?
July, yeah. So the goal is July 1st.
Nice. That's the official launch date of
official
this podcast,
too.
July
1st. Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. Cool, brother. Well, we'll throw your links and stuff like that in the show notes. So if you guys want to get a hold of Will, reach out there. He's one of the most giving people in terms of like information and just wanting to see other people succeed. So if something in this show inspired you, if you're ready to take that journey, like, you know, change your fitness, or, you know, take up the or scale up the marketing in your own company, reach out to him, because he's done a lot for me and my business, and I feel like he's 10x'd a lot of areas of my life. So appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, brother.
See you guys. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Chasing Freedom Podcast with Noah and Jeff.
Please subscribe to our YouTube channel in the show notes below. And if you ever want to get a hold of us, feel free to do it via our Instagrams. You can also follow us for our funny content on TikTok.